Excellent. Good morning, everybody. It's my tribute to Mother's Day on the board. On the edge. I've read Facebook, so I know that mothers live on the edge. Is that right, mothers? And it's us that do it to you. The kids that do it, you're not supposed to be so enthusiastic. Yes, we do. And it's us that do it to her. Yes, it is. It's your daughter you sat next to. Well, as you're asking. Mothers on the edge. I think mothers are amazing. Mums are brilliant. It's important that we've all got a mother or had one in some way, shape or form. None of us were found under bushes. We were actually given birth to. Mothers are important. Okay, in my little church, my kids call it yelling when I raise my voice. I call it motivational speaking for the selective listener. I think it's absolutely true. And the look on that mother's face up there is that, you know that look I've got through the week? Everything's fine. Everything's great. I'm so happy. It seems to me that lots of people live on the edge, and mums, we think you're ace, we appreciate you, you're fab. I'm glad I've got one. So happy Mother's Day to all of you from all of us. The reason I put those up there this morning is because there's a picture of a mum on there and she's kind of living on the edge of something. It looks like she's on the edge of a breakdown or an hysterical fit of some sort, to be honest. But she's got that kind of, I can cope. I want to know how she does that with her lips. I think that's, wow, that is a serious mouth, isn't it? That is like the Joker's wife. When you see it up there, it looks bigger. Living on the edge is really important. You can live on two types of edge. You can live on the edge of a complete and utter breakdown and collapse, or you can live on the edge of what God is calling you into. And this morning, I'm beginning a new series called On the Edge. And so this is like an introductory session about living on the edge. Good morning. I've not seen you this morning. Hi, are you all right? So this morning, we're talking about living on the... It's all right. Somebody I usually get a hug from that person. I've not seen them, so I gave them a wave instead. Get my hug later. Living on the edge. Who wants to live on the edge of sanity? Who feels like they're living on the edge of insanity? Actually, I've seen Phil's Facebook, so I know he's crossed the line. So... a long time ago. In Matthew chapter 16, there's a really interesting verse, and it says in Matthew 16 verse 18, it's during a conversation between the disciples and Jesus, and there's this kind of debate about who Jesus is. And finally, after some discussion, Jesus makes this statement. And he says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. This rock I will build my church. And this rock, I'm not going to go into technical theological details of it, but he's talking about himself, not Peter. It's a Greek thing with Greek words that you don't need to worry about today. Okay, do you trust me? Put your hand up if you trust me. Okay, most of you do. That's rather worrying in the numbers that didn't. So yeah, you're going to go with me. This is Jesus that the church is built on. He's the rock and foundation of that. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. That sounds like an edgy thing to say. Jesus is talking to Peter. It takes him right to a scary faith place. He just kind of laid something massive in front of us and we need to understand what it is. And this morning and the next few weeks as I'm speaking, we're going to explore and look at what it is to be on the edge, because it's so important right now for us as a church. As a church, this is so important. We've got to take a big step up, a big step forward. We've got to walk right to the edge of the precipice of our faith and stand there. Okay, that is what God is calling us to do. On the edge, there is a great view. You ever done that thing? Where you walk to the edge and you've got the great view? It's uninterrupted. It's an amazing view on the edge. When you're looking for something, when you're trying to see, you go to the high place to see, to get the maximum view. So what are you looking for? What are you looking for when you're there? Everybody is looking for, I want to sing a song now. Everybody's looking for something. Everybody's looking, I'll not go there. Oh, do you know, you see a phrase, and I'm going to have an earworm now. I'm going to be singing that song all day. Everybody is looking for something. It could be really simple things. I'm looking for a new job. Enthusiastic nod. I'm looking for a new house. I'm looking for a new car. Maybe a new boyfriend. Maybe a new girlfriend. Maybe the first boyfriend or first girlfriend. We're looking for something. Everybody is looking for something. Everybody's on the lookout for change. Everybody is trying to see the next thing. People that do fashion are trying to see what the next fashion will be. What will the next trend be? What will the next big hit be? Does anybody remember those rubber band things? You know, the rubber band loom. Rubber band looms. Loom bands. Loom bands. You see, you've even forgotten what they're called already. Do you remember how massive they were 18 months ago? Is it longer than that? It's like forever ago. It's like 3 years, 4 years. God. And it was massive. And now it's gone. And everybody's looking for the next thing. Christians, like everyone else, are looking for something. Sometimes, perhaps it's to do with our Christian life, we're looking to be more encouraging towards others. We're looking to be more prophetic. We're looking to be wiser in our Christian walk. We're looking to be theologically smart. We're looking not to worry about a long discussion about whether it was 3 years or 4 years. Shut up. They're prattling on about, wait, it must have been 3 years ago. No, it would be at least four. Do you know, they've still got them in Entertainer. Yeah. They're on special offer now as well. So we're all looking to step up in our Christian faith. Perhaps we're looking to be more prophetic, to be wise, to be theologically. I know one or two people that walk around and they're constantly trying to be wise in God. And I've personally found every time I try to be wise in the Lord is when I come out with the least wise kind of comments because I'm trying too hard. But we're all looking to be bigger in God, closer to God, to understand God more. We look at being more spiritual in our living and our doing. It's important to us. We want it. Some look for ways to serve in the church. Some people look for where to serve in the church. Others don't feel the desire to do that. They're happy to just be. So what are you looking for? Where is the edge of life for you? See, I think mothers do get it. We've got these kind of those pictures. Oh, that's good. We like that. I've forgotten that one. That's what living on the edge feels like in church, isn't it, sometimes? Anybody ever feel like they're living like that? Come on, be serious. You're in church and you feel like it's fingertips. And it's a great view, isn't it? If you just turn your head around slightly from that position, it's a great view. Am I the only one that lives there? We're all on the edge to some extent. We need to be those Christians who are living on the edge of our true Christian faith to understand what it would be like for others to be on the edge. We need to be there. We need to be on the edge. We must all go to that place where we feel alive. Being a living church, not a going to church. We need to be a living church, not a going to church. I'm going to spend some time talking about this edge living for a little while, introduce it this morning. Being on the edge can be very dangerous, as you can see from that picture. But you know from that picture, you know that man has never felt more alive than at that point. You know he can feel his heartbeat in his eyeballs. He's alive. Has anybody ever been to that place where you think this could be it? Anybody, physically, this is it. I am now going to die. And somehow, you don't. And you can feel your heart beating, and you can feel your pulse. You can listen to your lungs. You can like everything is amplified. Everything is physically clearer to see. You can hear everything better. Everything is just alive when you're living on the edge of death. But you can feel it, church. We can't live on the fence. There's a picture I think up here about a guy living on a fence. Who would like to turn the fence into that? Lots of people find this comfortable place. We turn the fence into a comfortable place. You will not feel your blood rushing when you're horizontal on the fence. You will not feel alive. You'll not find the edge. See, when I stand on the edge of a cliff, that real emotional thing, when you're seeing what is out there, when you recognize what's out there, yes, it's scary. Yes, it's disturbing slightly, but your blood pulses and you're alive. You never see the full view unless you go and stand at the very edge and look out at the undisturbed view. Church, God is calling us to a place where we're going to stand on the very edge of life, in the dangerous place. See, I'm not interested in playing safe. The fence is comfortable and great, but I want to be on the edge of what God is doing. I want to be right there at the cutting edge of it, knowing that this is down to God now. See, where is the edge? I want to tell you, the edge sounds like this. You don't live where you can win. It's living where only God can win. Do you get that? Living on the edge of what God asks for us. Don't live where you can win. Live where only God can win. Glad you got that. Church, as we have gone to the edge of something, and I want to tell you on Neil's behalf as treasurer, I want to tell you on our behalf as leadership, I want to say it on behalf of your life, because you're in this with us, we're in this together, this is a God appointment and God call on this church. We are on the edge. We are on the brink. It is an all or nothing place. You understand now, there's no, oh, we've changed our mind, let's just reel it back in a little bit. You know that that doesn't exist now, don't you? Well, two of you actually have worked that one out. The rest of you are all sat there going, really? Just a minute, who's driving this bus? Don't live where you can win. Live where only God can win. I've got to tell you right now, for Hope House Church, with what we've said, with what we've said in public, with where we've put ourselves, this isn't about us looking good. This is about declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He's our King, that we can win through Him. We've put ourselves into a place where we now need Jesus to win. And I've got to tell you, whether it be the church or whether it be the school or whether it be a whole pile of individual lives that have committed to this place and given their all to it, right now, they need Jesus to win. They need God to win, because otherwise we're out of there. I'm going to come and explain. We're out of here. We're out of everything. I'm out of a job. Before we can grasp what we're on the edge of, we must first understand how to be on the edge, how to get close to where we can see the whole picture. So I'm going to give you three brief points that will help you understand how to stand on the edge and not be afraid. Faith living. How to stand on the edge and not be afraid. Has anybody ever stood right at the very edge of a cliff? Were you afraid when you did it? Or did you do that thing that, I'm a nightmare. I do that, I get the buzz from that. I'm that person that stands on the edge of the cliff and goes, I could fall off here and die. Wow! Am I not normal? Is this why I want to do a parachute drum? This is why I ride, this is why I love my motorbike. My motorbike's coming out this spring, Neil. You'll be pleased to know. Listen, I've got a fellow rider now, so we're going to go. We're going to burn up the road. There's kind of three of us, three old men on bikes. We're going to burn up the road, aren't we? Me, you, and Ian. The picture of what God. Let's have a look at these three points. Moving on quickly, I'm losing my concentration. It's because I'm speaking an hour earlier than I'm meant to. Let's have a look at what the picture of God wants us to be as a church. To be alive on the edge, to be living by faith. Number one, the church must have no walls and no restrictions. Number one, the church must have no walls. The church is not built by man for man. Verse 18 said, I will build my church. This was Jesus speaking. This is His church. This is not ours. I'm going to come to that in a moment in a little more detail. In other words, it is built by God with people, not by people for themselves. This is my church and I will build a church. He builds it for people. We don't build this thing for us. He's building this thing to catch people, to connect to people, to draw people, to love people, to equip people, to build people and to send people. This is His church and it does not have walls. It is not a box. In other words, it's His plan, not ours. See, this this church of God that has no walls, it extends from here, where we are, in this holy place, in this good place, right to the very gates of hell, and can rescue at any point on that journey, can transform at any point on that journey. And the best thing is, I'm going to mention in a minute, even the gates of hell will not stand against it. That's the word. It extends from here to hell itself. No walls, no places that hinder the good news message. There is no wall that blocks the view. This is a wide open space. One thing stopping the church from being on the edge is the thinking that we must go to church or meet at the church. We are the church gathered to go. You know, it's a basic, but it's true. The church is the church when it goes out from its gathered place. See, this is school. This is school. This is training. This is learning. This is growing. This is encouraging. This is releasing one another. This is giving permission to one another to grow, to ask questions. That's what we do when we're here. We look at God, we find out about Him, we encourage one another in Him, and we are prepared to be sent out. We are ready for the Monday morning experience. In fact, we're not only ready for the Monday morning experience, we're eager for it, because we are commissioned to go. Do you get that? I'm obsessed with this Monday morning thing at the moment. I want to deal with it once and for all. It's Monday morning. You know, I want to be the church where people say, what is it with those Hope House people? They love Monday mornings. They're so excited on Sunday night because they've got to get up early and go to work on Monday morning. What is it about them? Because it's the beginning of our Great Commission every week. It's the beginning of our sending out every week. That's where we need to learn to be. And you know what? You don't have to have some mega dynamic, oh, I'm special kind of job. You don't have to have that, like, caring skill, my eye fell on you. And we know you're wonderful. And you are. And you get to do, like, you get to touch lives. And that is an amazing gift. Pray for this woman that touches lives, emotional lives, that actually is touching the spirit of people. Pray for them. But you know what? When you're fixing the bus, you're around people that don't know who Jesus is. And it matters just as much. What matters is not what we're doing, but who we are in that setting. I don't care if you're stacking shelves at Morrison's or working for ASOS or if you're the Prime Minister. If you know Jesus Christ, what matters is who you are for Jesus on a Monday morning in that setting. That's who you are called to be. That is your commission. That is your worth. That's why you matter. If you haven't got a job, don't worry about it. You've got neighbours. You've even got the nice guy down at the job centre, and you can be different to everybody else. And you can walk in there and you can have a different heart to every person that goes in there. You know, because we are first and foremost Christ's. It says this in 2 Peter chapter 4, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are living stones. So we don't need to be stacked up and held together by sand and cement and mortar. We are living stones. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? What a strange term, living stones. Nothing is more inanimate than a stone. Stones are not good at life. Get hold of this. God breathes life where it did not exist before. That tells us something of the power of the gospel. Who here feels like a stone at times? Who here feels like they've got nothing to offer? Who here feels like there is nothing about me? I cannot do this. I am not good enough. Listen, living stones, things that were dead, that are alive, things that cannot be alive, are made alive. The least, the last, the most unlikely thing that you would pick, they are alive in Christ, because when God breathes into them, there is nothing that can hold us back. So you can have that amazing Monday morning commission. You can go into all the world on a Monday morning and know that He's doing something astonishing with you. God takes us in our most lifeless, empty state, when we feel dead in our sins. Scripture actually says, when you were dead in your sins and transgressions. That's probably an RSV version I'm quoting, isn't it? Dead in your sins and transgressions? Wow, that is a... When you were a bad person, messed up and a long way from God, that's when He loved you and took hold of you and He gave you new life. How amazing is our God? This is hope. This is hope. in our right now moments of life. We get to carry that good news. We get to be that good news. We get to grow that good news in this town. You bunch, you stones, you things that were dead, you out there that are the least and last and a waste of space. Yes, I'm talking to you. I'm the people I'm looking at by eye. You have been God-breathed on and are alive. Do you know how good that is? I think God's holding his breath this morning. Let me give you a definition of what the church is. We can mistakenly define the church as a building where people will gather once a week so they feel good enough to make it through the next week. Listen, can we shake out of that mindset? If I get to church, I'll just about make it through this next week. That's not the purpose of the church. That's a great side effect of the church. But that is not the purpose of the church. Here's the purpose of the church. There might even be a slide. The purpose of the church is to be the dynamic, living family through which God can accomplish his work of life-bringing, hope-carrying, people-connecting good news. That is the purpose of the church. I've got news for you. That is your purpose. That is your purpose. You know, when people come to me and say, what am I here for? But what do I do? What do I do? You do that. You do that. And you matter for that. You are incredibly, incredibly important for that. Because that's the Christ-carrying tribe I want to belong to. The purpose of the church is to be the dynamic, living family through which God can accomplish his work of life-bringing, hope-carrying, people-connecting, good news. Do you agree with me? Come on. Come on, I feel like I'm dying up here. I feel like a living stone. I feel like a nearly dried out stone. Come on, get hold of that. That is God's heart and word for you this morning. That is how he sees you. Because without Christ, there can be no true praise and worship. Without Christ, there can be no true friendship. Without Christ, there can be no knowledge of God. Without Christ, there can be no salvation and no hope. But we are in Christ. So we have those things. We have those things. Because we have Christ, we have got true praise and worship. Because we have Christ, we have true friendship. Because we have Christ, we have true knowledge of who God is. Because we have Christ, there is real salvation and there is hope. That is who we are. If we are saved, it's because Jesus found us. He singled us out. You know those people that say, oh no, I'm in church, but I'm not worth anything. Hey, you know what? God singled you out. Yeah. Scripture says he chose us. Not because I'm good, not because I'm special, not because I'm like wonderful, not because I've got something to offer. When I was least and last and broken and dead like a stone, God chose me. God chose you. He paid the price. He revealed himself to us and he called us to follow him. Do you know what an amazing thing that is? Come on. The church has no walls because it's not called to be fenced in but to go out. To live on the edge, we've got to know this. Number two, we do not own the church. It's not ours. It's not mine and it's not yours. It belongs to Jesus. He said, I will build my church. The church belongs to him as we belong to him. We are his body. The church is his to command, to grow, to build, to move in the direction he wants. So when he says move into that old building across the road from you that you can't possibly afford to buy, go and stand on the edge and do it. Are you with me? We've stood on the edge of the... Do you know what really has impressed me and thrilled me about Hope House Church? You did. You did. What are you like? You are off your tiny little heads. But it tells me, you know when you lot think, oh, but we've got no faith. I'm not a very good Christian. I can't tell you. Look, I'm the pastor of the church. The number of people that come to me and put silly voices on and say, I'm a bad Christian. I'm not very good. I'm not very faithful. You're still here. You've got on board of this ridiculous adventure. You've got on board of this. And do you know why you've got on board with this? Because you saw four walls? Because you thought you wanted to decorate it? Because you saw a rough car park? Because you saw the lovely attractive steps at the front of this building? Because you saw the space inside? No, you got on board with this because you know that Jesus Christ is amazing. And the truth is, you know from this place we can be sent out and we're going to see people saved. That, isn't that the truth?
Yes.
And hasn't it been a thrill to see people added to us these last few months since we moved in here? Yeah, we're not doing it because we want to feel good, but isn't it a great side effect? Isn't it ace when you see people working out who God is, making a connection with Jesus? I absolutely love it. And I don't mind when my non-Christian friends think I am mad. When I sit with my friends in the council and they're saying, yeah, but it's just a nice social enterprise, isn't it? Church is one of you know that we didn't win any prizes. At the council awards I went to the other night, we were nominated in two or three categories. We didn't win any of them. But wasn't it nice to be nominated? It was fab to be nominated. Yeah. And if I'd only known, there was a pie and pea supper. It was so good to be nominated when I rolled up. They'd forgotten to put my name on the list. So I didn't even have a table to sit at. Thankfully, somebody else didn't turn up. And I got to sit with you two for a while. That was ace. Did you win? The Mackie D's one, yes. I chose the older people's friendship group, our over 50s club, which is called for... which are you a member of our Tuesday morning over 50s club? Yeah. Our old people. I thought you were going to be like 90 to be a member of that. They are ace and they won a prize. Yay! But here's the truth. We are more than a social club. We are more than community gatherings. We are more than just events. We're more than clubs. We are the living body of Jesus Christ. We're his church to command and to grow and to move. He takes us to the very edge so we can see the whole picture. Church, we've got to stand on the edge and see the whole picture. Yes, see the picture of this building complete and renovated and finished. But more importantly, see it full of people. See it full of life. See next door with all sorts of activities and things going on there that carry the truth of Jesus, that change people's lives simply because they're worth loving. Yesterday, somebody asked me, why are we doing this again with the flowers? Because for a brief moment, you walk up to a person with a bunch of flowers, put them in the hand, see them smiling, you say, you matter. For a microsecond, you are mattered to somebody. And that is the essence, because that is a tiny shadow and a glimpse. It's a spark of who Jesus is. When Jesus says, those people matter to me for eternity. And for a moment, we connect with them. In this reading, Jesus stated at the end, Jesus' statement didn't end with the words, I will build my church. He also said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That statement alone means that our view of the church must go right to the very edge. The gates of hell will not prevail. Here's what I want you to understand, that yesterday, when we took flowers out and put them in somebody's hand, that scratches away at some wall around their life. And at some point, that wall will break down. So while Satan's throwing everything at us, and we walk up and we give somebody a bunch of flowers, I want to tell you, there are going to be moments in that person's life where they look back, where they read the ticket on it. The lady I spoke to, this is the third year in a row she's come back and I've given her flowers, and she remembered me and couldn't understand why I couldn't remember her. But she'd come back for flowers hoping we'd be there this morning. You know what? Satan can do what he likes, but in tiny, tiny ways, with a demonstration of love and care that says you matter, we are touching and changing lives, and walls will come down, and people will belong, and people will be saved. There will be transformation in our town, and our town centre, although it is physically looking different and is going to be renovated, that is just buildings, just like this is just a building. But I'm going to say, I absolutely believe, because we're standing right on the edge in a ridiculous place. Next time you're standing there, take a look around Barnsley. Take a look at the people that you walk past. You know the ones that where you think, well, I know God can do anything, but probably not with you. Every time I drive past, when I drive home, I drive to the end of the street and turn left, and I always get caught at lights, and I sit in between the channels and the corner pin, and I think, God, this will take a miracle. God, this will take a miracle. When I see the people on the doorsteps, and I've got to say there are at least three of those men on those doorsteps that I went to school with. So every time I do that, I look in the rearview mirror and think, close one. I'm serious, because two or three of those guys I know cannot possibly be alive much longer because the way they're living, the way they look, and they're the same age as me. Church, it's going to take a miracle. It's going to take a Monday morning commission. But here's some good news. Satan's not coming against us. We're going against him. You understand that, don't you? I've said this before, and I have wrestled with this for years, and it's just a plain English thing. The gates of hell will not prevail. You see, he's the one, our enemy's the one that's kind of walled himself up and put a gate up. Not us. We're out there. We're breaking it down. It's us on the offensive. And it took me a long time to realize, and this is why church matters, and this is why I love this church, because it took me a long time to work it out, that we are on the offensive. It is us taking ground. It is us winning back. And we're on the victory side. Jesus Christ at the cross won everything. Devil's lost. The gates will break. Hebrews chapter 2. Even death can't win. Where's your sting? It is defeated. So, you know, even with a week like this, you know what? Death releases people like Dennis to join a great crowd of witnesses that can cheer us on. Do you get that? That is an absolute truth. So when his memorial Thanksgiving service and stuff on the 10th of April happens, that will be a thankful service. Because he's not dead. He's just not here. He's gone to a better place. He actually has. Because he's got the answers. He's outside of time and he sees it and he's cheering on. Death will have no impact against us as believers. Death will not overcome, overpower, or overtake what Jesus is building. It can't. It does not have the power, the strength, or the army to do that because Jesus won on the cross. If your edge is looking like a death drop to your spiritual life, to your relationships, to your finances, to your family, check out where you're looking. Worried about paying for this place? Worried about paying for it? Lift your eyes. Start to see the new people. Start to see salvation. Start to see the change that's coming. I want to tell you a secret. If you stood on the edge of a cliff, anybody ever stood on the edge of a cliff? Do you know where you don't look when you stood on the edge of a cliff? Do not look down. It has a strange magnetic effect. It draws you in. Don't worry, you don't stand on the edge of the cliff long. You're soon on the floor. Around the floor. And on the wall. You're everywhere. Stand on the edge of the cliff and look out and you can see everything. And actually you become stable. Church, we've got to stand right on the edge, in the risky place, in the danger place, on the edge of the cliff, but look at Jesus. And when we look at him, it suddenly becomes a safe place, a solid rock, a secure place where we are not wobbly, we are not shaky. But this is where God has called us to be. So if you've been in a shaky place, a scary place, look at Jesus. Because he's brought you to the edge of something now and he's taking you into a new place. So don't worry about paying the bills in this place. Don't worry about how we're going to renovate it. Don't worry about any of those things. Don't worry about the lack of manpower that we've currently got. Don't worry about any of the worry things that I worry about. That's what I get paid for. I worry. What I want you to do is to think of the people that are not saved yet. They're going to fill this building. Come on, seriously? Think about that. We've got a handful of empty... Neil, we need more chairs, mate. Because we've got more than 50% of our chairs are now full. And when we first came in here, 50% of our chairs were empty. Now they're not. So we need more chairs putting out. How good is God? There are people walking past. There are people laid in... There are people in their comfortable, warm beds this morning that in future are going to get their Sundays trashed. Because they're going to be in here with us worshipping. And then they're going to think, I've got Sunday afternoon off, though. And you go, no, you're not. You're just prepping to be here for Sunday night. Seriously. Here's what happens when you stand on a cliff edge, look down and fall down. Look out and you stand firm and you stand stable. Only your vision has changed. Where you look changes your circumstances. On the edge of a cliff, when you look down, you fall. On the edge of a cliff, look up and you stand. Jesus is saying, when I am the builder, no matter what hell throws, it will not prevail. What you set out to build, when you set out to build church your way, when you set out to define church your way, when you set out to redefine the agenda for the church your way instead of Jesus' way, that's when you're looking down. When you do all of those things but look at him, that's when we're stable and when we're strong and when we're safe. We will not be a powerful, transforming, connected people of influence when we look down, but we will be when we look up. When we go out and live Jesus' lives on the edge, but looking up, even the gates of hell can't prevail. Even the gates of hell will surrender its captives. So the people that I went to school with that stand outside the club and the pub down here, even the gates of hell will surrender their lives back to Jesus Christ. And they will be transformed. And I believe they will be transformed. If Jesus said, hell can't stop his church, then hell cannot stop his church. So if we are being stopped, then I'm going to say, hell isn't stopping us. We're just looking in the wrong place. We need to shuffle. Here's the secret. If you feel like you're being stopped right now, I want to challenge you. I want you to shuffle closer to the edge. Closer to the edge. Wrap your toes around the edge. All right? But look at Jesus. Don't play safe when you feel like you've come to a stop. Get more dangerous. We must learn to live on the edge. That's called following Jesus, and it's not dull. To live on the edge, we must take chances. We've got to step out and be seen to belonging to Jesus. I'm going to come to that in a moment. I'm going to ask the band to come back on stage. Because the third thing we've got to know is we've got to know where we are in Christ. So band, come and shuffle. That's it. Thank you. Do that spiritual thing you do in the background that actually has more impact than the sermon, because they all get emotionally impacted. Look, I kind of get this morning that we're in that stupor state and we had to get up an hour early, and you probably went to bed an hour late despite getting up an hour early. I've not had the greatest weekend. I get all of that stuff. You may not have had the greatest weekend. This isn't about an emotional thing. This is about a practical, real-life response to God this morning. And I want to do something this morning that's very important. We've got to know where we are in Christ. Are you in Christ? If you are saved, are you putting the foundations in place to grow with Him? Are you putting the God things in place? Are you putting the foundational things in place so you can look up? Are we getting the basics right so I can say I'm living on the edge with God, and I'm being commissioned, and I'm going out on a Monday morning into a great place with God? And there are some basics. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you been baptized? So I had a conversation this week with somebody, and then I've just had a conversation with Neil. Forgive the rest of the leadership team, but here's what we're going to do. And Joe was there as well. Joe was passing, and I mentioned it to Julie that I probably might mention this, might not be a good idea, and I spontaneously decided this. Easter Sunday, we are going to have a baptism service. I don't know who's going to get baptized at this point, but I figure, in faith, we've just got to start doing baptism services. We've got to start ramming them in there through the year. Not once a month. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. We're not going to have time for 25-minute sermons from every single person being baptized and a meal that lasts all afternoon. We're just going to get people baptized because that's what you need to do. So this morning, I know there are people here that want to be baptized. I know there are people here that need to be baptized. I know there are people here that have been avoiding being baptized. Why don't you just be outrageous and go stand on the edge? Throw ourselves in. So on Easter Sunday, we can have a baptism service, and then we can all have a right good time with God. So are you in Christ this morning? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know what? Lots of people are trying to get life fixed, ready for becoming Christians. No. Become a Christian when life isn't fixed, and let Him do the building. Lots of people want to be good enough to be baptized, otherwise they'll feel like hypocrites. Forget it. Just get baptized. Get on with it. Let Him do the fixing. Lots of people think they're not good enough to receive the Holy Spirit yet. When I'm more perfect, I can receive the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to grow and to be better and to be built. Galatians 3:26 says, you were all baptized into Christ, so we're all clothed with Christ. Look, I want that kind of unity in this place. We need that kind of unity where we belong to Jesus Christ, we're baptized in His name, and we're filled with His Holy Spirit. So we're going to do an Easter baptism service. So let's fill Easter week with all this outrageous stuff. We're going to fill it with an amazing Thanksgiving service and say goodbye to Dennis. We're going to have the most amazing wedding. It is just going to be a top wedding. It's going to be a God-filled celebration of what God can do in people's lives. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be a picture of Christ and His bride, because that's what marriage is. It's going to be special. And then on the Sunday, we're going to have a baptism, because that is the ultimate thing. It's all God's anyway. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to stand. The band are going to lead us in singing. And I know, I get this morning that there's that kind of tired thing going off. I understand that. I don't have a problem with it. But I just want you to know this, that even if you are physically tired this morning, you're a bit distracted, we can still choose to obey God. We can still choose to step up. And so what I'm going to say this morning as we sing, If you're going to be one of those people baptized on Easter Sunday morning, I just want to ask you to do something for now. I want you to come and stand on the edge and publicly declare that I am about Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to come and stand with me just to say, I am going to be baptized on Easter Sunday morning. It's not about pushing people or pressuring people, but if you're going to be baptized, I'm going to encourage you to come and stand there, because we're going to have the baptism pool there on Easter Sunday morning. Whether it's used or not, it's going to be there.
Recently, I had news that put me on the edge, and everything, it's amazing. Everything became clearer, everything I believed in. Yeah, I couldn't have believed in it more, but it seemed brighter and easier to do, and I could talk to people easier. It's just an amazing feeling, so I want to say to you, get there on the edge,
yeah,
and everything will open up for you, and everything will become clearer.
Yeah. Come on, thank you. Thank you. True. No better place than on the edge. So, we're going to sing. We're just going to worship God. We're going to bring our praise to Him. It's the last song of the morning. But I encourage you, if you want to be living on the edge, if you're saying, Lord, I've held back, I want my Monday mornings to be the most amazing mornings of the week. I want my Monday mornings to be more God-filled and exciting than my Sunday mornings. I'm going to encourage you to come and stand here and say, Lord, this is my life, this is my edge, this is my work situation, and I give it to you because I want to honour you with that setting. I'm going to ask you to come and stand just here as we're singing. But if you wanted to be baptised on Easter Sunday morning, I'm going to ask you to come and stand here so we can celebrate with you. We can say, publicly you've said, I'm going to do this thing. That way, if you back out, we'll all point at you, okay? You're going to put it on the edge and say, I am going to do this thing. I'm going to step out in faith. So let's worship God and respond. If you're giving your week and your Monday morning to God, we're going to ask you to come and stand here. If you're saying, I want to be baptized, I'm going to do this thing outrageously, I'm going to ask you to come and stand just here. So let's worship God and let's respond. Let's not just make it a nice thing. Let's not just make it a Sunday thing or a Paul thing. This is about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Let's give it to Him and live on the edge.